Ask a Pathologist podcast.
Well, let's just dive into it. Okay, welcome to the Ask a Pathologist podcast sponsored by Lumea and the Digital Diagnostics Summit. The idea behind this podcast is to provide good, helpful, and useful information and resources for current pathologists and pathologists in training. I am Jake Brown on the board for the Digital Diagnostics Summit and Senior Product Marketing Manager for Lumea. I want to give a warm welcome to our guest, Dr. Tristan Rutland. Dr. Rutland, it's nice to have you on the podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yes, we're excited to talk with you today. Before we get into our topic, do you mind taking a second to introduce yourself for the audience so we can know a little bit more about you?
Okay. I'm an Australian pathologist. I've been working for 7 years now since I graduated. I work in a place called Liverpool, which is in the southwestern Sydney. It's actually a very interesting place to work in. It's a very multicultural sort of area as well. So we see a lot of diversity of pathology, which is really interesting as well. I also work at the University of Western Sydney, where I'm involved in the medical training program, the medical school there, where I train medical students, and I do pathology teaching there as well. I also have involvement in some other universities, sort of more casual appointment as well. And as you will know, I do teaching via Twitter as well and social media, which is something I really, really enjoy. And my former life before I did pathology, I was a pharmacist. So yeah, that's a bit about me.
Okay. Wow. That's a wide variety of things that you are experiencing. And also you sound extremely busy. so we're really grateful to have you.
No, thank you.
Thank you once again. Yes. Okay. Well, we're excited for this topic today. We're kind of focusing in on best tools and resources for pathologists. That's the topic today. And I'm excited to hear from you, especially with your wide variety of expertise and the things that you are doing right now. I'm sure our audience base is going to be really excited to hear your feedback and some things that you are familiar with that they might not be. So no further ado, I'll just turn the time over to you and let you take center stage.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Well, it's interesting. When I was asked to do this, I had a bit of a think about, you know, resources as a sort of general term. And it's interesting. I sort of had some ideas which probably weren't in the traditional sort of resources that we might think about. And I try to break it down into different categories. So there's certainly a lot of stuff we'll talk about in regards to online resources as well. And I think certainly that's the areas that I use a lot of. But one of the things that I suppose is sort of important is really going back to basics is just local resources. And I know that sounds a bit silly, but one of the things that I find extremely useful as a resource is actually my clinicians. Heavily involved in, you know, multidisciplinary teaming or teams and in regards to tumor boards as well, and interact and being on site is really, really useful. And I find that certainly diagnostically and growing and as a pathologist, it's really good to have contact with, you know, your oncologists, your surgeons, your radiation oncologists, so on and so forth as well. And they can be really valuable resources, especially in diagnostic dilemmas as well. And I think people should not underestimate that as actually something that is as good as a textbook in regards to in particular cases as well. So just thinking about a local sense, I think having your other colleagues in other specialties is something that I think is actually really, really useful as well. I suppose in regards to educational resources as well, engaging in MDTs, what we call MDTs, tumor boards as well. One other small thing that we do, certainly one of the tumor boards that I attend, which is we do the colorectal tumor board, is we occasionally have teaching sessions that we've been setting up as well. And it was actually something that was decided by the MDT, and it's actually really useful for all the clinicians there, not just, you know, and a lot of context, for example, as a pathologist, you know, what do my reports mean? How do they fit into the greater picture? What do the oncologists, the surgeons, you know, how does it correlate with imaging? And it just, so that's, and that's a bit of a local thing, but I think that's an extremely really it's a really really useful resource that I attend all those sessions, and I find that it really helps as well. So that's one thing that I find really really good. Moving up to what other things do I use on a day-to-day basis for my teaching as well. So once again, there's a lot of different things, and we can, you know, we'll go for them as well. So in regards to sort of diagnostic utilities, I'm lucky, as I mentioned before, I'm part of a university and I have access to a lot of pathology textbooks online. So having access to a good resource library, and I know unfortunately there are many people that won't have access to that, though there are some really good alternatives that we can discuss a little bit later. But having access to a variety of textbooks on specialist subjects is something that I find extremely useful. And part of there's a lot of benefits for working for the university, but one of the things is having that huge amount of being able to access, you know, without saying any particular textbooks, because there's a lot of really good ones out there as well, saying if I've got a really difficult urological case, because I'm a general anatomical pathologist that pretty much do everything. So we need to have, you know, access to it. I can go to a book and read about it as well. So that's something that's really, really useful as well. And not to underestimate things like the Blue Book online WHO as a resource as well. I know, I know that some people use it more than others as well. I find that I find it a useful starting point for many things as well. I actually like to read especially for tricky cases, I like to read the references behind the actual resources. So actually, that's one thing I would just also add as well in regards to resources, is that especially even with the textbooks, is they're very well referenced, a lot of textbooks, and actually pulling out the articles and reading it for those difficult cases can be really, really useful. And I find that yes, WHO is great. It's got lots of it's got a good variety, you know, it's obviously focused on tumor pathology, not inflammatory and other pathology, but it does have, it's very well referenced, and I find that not only reading the text, but going to that is something that is extremely useful as well. One thing that I should also mention, thinking about the local stuff as well, and I suppose once again, this is just a bit of an Australia, you know, this is just for, no, it's not necessarily for Australia, but just thinking in the Australian context. One thing I also find is, because as I mentioned before, as a general anatomical pathologist, being able to ask colleagues around our department, once again, we're general, some people have interest areas, like I have interest areas in colorectal, other people have interest areas in lymphoma as well, so asking people about, you know, cases like that, but also not underestimating the ability to go and ask people in the local area, i.e. like New South Wales or even Australia, for second opinions. And I always find that sending cases off for second opinions to specialist pathologists is something that is really useful. And with the advent of digital pathology, actually makes it a lot easier. And now, you know, fortunately, we don't have as much of it in Australia as we would like, but the ability now to consult people overseas in specialty areas is really, really useful. And that is a really, really useful resource, like in regards to backing you up a diagnostic sense as well, but also learning, because I find that a lot of the second opinions I get from specialist pathologists will usually have really fantastic, well, certainly the people that I send it to usually put a really great report together, and you can learn a lot off that as well. So that's just diverting back to the sort of local sort of feeling, but that sort of like plays into that whole how technology has now adapted, that we can actually use things like digital pathology, and that if you have access to that, being able to get a consult within 24, 48 or whatever hours, as opposed to having to pack up slides and sending them overseas, is something that is really useful.
Yeah.
On a flip side of that, it's interesting that my one of my mentors here as well, he still gets consults from Sri Lanka. We used to have Sri Lankan fellows who used to come to Liverpool, and they use us for second opinions as well. So, and they still pack the slides up in a block and send it over to us. And it's obviously quite a long process, but said, that can be sped up with the advent of technology as well. So there's that's certainly, you know, in regards to diagnostic sort of areas. And certainly there are things like, obviously there are, I think, great things like pathology outlines that are free, that are easy to access, that once again are that have great references behind them as well. And obviously they're systematized. So, you know, it has a lot of information there. Obviously not as much as a specialist textbook on that particular subject, as well, but certainly, you know, I find it's once again a good starting point as well, and there's a great reference, and it's free as well, and it's curated by some pretty great people around the world. I can't go into a conversation about resources without mentioning things like Twitter and Kaiko and such alike, because I think that why, in a diagnostic sense, from a day to day, I find that I don't use it as much. In regards to that, I use it a lot in regards to my further education. I use it a lot for, you know, for that walking between laboratories, learning something that I didn't know. And also, when I've read something or learned something, referring back to that as a resource in regards to, I remember seeing something like that. Someone wrote something about that on Twitter and being able to, or Kaiko, and going and actually going back and revisiting that is something that is actually very useful and free. Hopefully Elon doesn't make Twitter much more inaccessible, but
right.
And the other thing about, I should also add a few things about, like, you know, Twitter and Kaiko, is that also if you've got something that is a bit tricky you haven't seen before, having that ability to search for those cases to see what other people have had and talked about as well. So I've learned a lot from that process. And though if I have a diagnostically difficult case, it won't be my first port of call. But if I have something that I have heard about on Twitter, I'll go back to it and read it as well. And once again, for people that aren't familiar and always people that are a bit wary of social media, that's a question I always get asked. It's about, what about peer review and accuracy? And I think it's a really valid question, but for anyone that has been involved in PATH Twitter, I think it is effectively a peer. It's a dynamic, and Kaiko as well is a dynamic. It is a dynamic review process, because there's a lot of people from, you know, medical students to registrars or residents, as you would say in the US, right up to high level professors of pathology at big institutions around the world that tend to weigh in on things, and so you do know that most of the information, well, pretty much most of the information there, you can get a feel, for how accurate it is, because quite often, you know, people don't tend to put up inaccurate stuff, and if it does, it gets pointed out. But people are very, but that said, the people that tend to contribute, it's funnily enough, it does seem to be of a very good quality as well, and it can generate discussion.
Yeah, I'll just stop you right there, because I just wanted to make sure that I did have a couple of questions, but that I'm glad you referenced that last part about social media, because that was one of the questions I had, because, you know, in the United States, sometimes you'll get these, they call them Monday morning quarterbacks, or these armchair quarterbacks, these people that will sit on the side and claim that they know what they're talking about. And obviously in the medical field, that's a concern. So I love the way you talk about that and understand that, like, hey, like, obviously you've got to look at the content, but pretty quickly you can start to discern, you know, what they're talking about.
Yeah. I think that's a really interesting thing. One of the things I find, see, I'm not a subspecialist. I report everything from inflammatory skin to, you know, germ cell tumors to colorectal to, you know, whatever we do. The only thing I don't do is in renal biopsies. And that's only because I just don't have enough to, you know, I just don't have enough time to do them. So, and the important thing from someone like myself is to realize, where is my inadvertent commas expertise is that general, trying to teach people general lesson, you know, for general pathologists, AP pathologists that are doing what I'm doing as well. And from what, and think, certainly from a lot of cases that I've learned from. And I think that's important in to realize that this person that is teaching you, what is their background? You know, so someone can say, well, you know, this guy does, he reports everything. So, you know, I wouldn't be asking me about high tech NGS questions about, you know, particular things at all or any particular time, really super rare tumors. But there are people that are certainly out there that do that, which is fantastic as well. So, I think that's the importance of it. And interesting in the community, people seem to really stay in their lanes with this sort of stuff as well, which is really good. And for those difficult cases, the interesting thing is those people that are really good at those subspecialty areas, usually they come in and they put their piece in, they add. And then quite often in a very, you know, add, or if something's a little bit, you know what I mean, a little not accurate, actually direct it in a really nice sort of way to, you know, to help educate people. So I think that that's a very good point. Monday morning quarterback. I love that. So armchair, is it like an armchair sort of like, what are they? There's a term I think as well, another term, but yeah, no, that's true. But I think it seems to be the culture that's developed in this area of Twitter seems to be quite good actually. And as well, I'm not quite sure what in other parts of the medical Twitter world, sometimes it seems to be a little bit more Wild West-ish, but
I'm sure that it also weeds out if you use enough technical terms and stuff that only fellow pathologists would understand. But you're going to weed out a lot of those people anyway. They're like, I don't know what you're talking about. So I'm just going to leave it alone. So.
Yeah, yeah, and it is good, and it's interesting. And I think if you approach it with a level of humility and you know, and realize what you can add and what you can't add, I think that you'll be perfectly fine as well. And being clearly stating and saying, hey, this is what I do. I don't know everything. Does anyone else have anything else to add to this? Because I might be, yeah. So no, that's a really good comment actually. So I suppose continuing on the whole resources thing. So that's pretty much talked about, I suppose, a lot of diagnostic stuff. The further educational, I've talked about social media as a further educational sort of type modality. I think it really is that. And like I said, there's sometimes that I've used it for you know, reviewing difficult diagnostic cases that I've read somewhere else. And sometimes I quite often put up a case that I've seen on Twitter that I've diagnosed because of Twitter. That's quite interesting. But moving on to sort of, I suppose, more practice-based guidelines, one of the other things I think is really good that I have access to, which is free, is the various synoptic reports. We're talking more only about cancer pathology here, but in regards to, you know, in Australia we have the RCPA synoptic report of the ICCR, which you can use as well. CAP, the CAP CAP guidelines for cancer reporting are really good as synoptic reporting as well. And those are things that I really utilize, I like, because A, they systematize things that we should be looking for. And they're, once again, well-referenced with great explanations about why you should be reporting this and what you should be reporting it for, and quite often what the implications of doing what you, you know, that, you know, it's why you do that and as well. So I find that, so those, there are resources for, don't underestimate the, you know, I have these things on my hotbar because I do a lot of, you know, we do a lot of various tumors here as well. And sometimes something that I haven't reported for a while might come across my desk and, yeah, certainly will show the person that is a subspecialty, you know, have that interest area. But having that, reading through it is a really, really useful way of updating your knowledge and making sure that you haven't missed anything recently that's been updated as well. So there's a couple of different ones. The UK, obviously, so the UK, every, you know, everyone, there are a bunch of different ones there. I don't want to leave any of them out, but certainly ones I use are the ones from obviously our college resources as well, the RCPA, and the CAP, Cancer Synoptic Reporting, and as well. So, so there are about three, the four, I think probably more, but in general terms, resources that I use. what other things, I suppose, to think about as well? Like, it'd be interesting to see where, you know, obviously social media, you know, it's a relatively new thing, and how it develops in regards to building, you know, we've got threads that are coming on like that. It'll probably be, if it does, if the pathology yeah. community moves or backwards or forwards, it'll probably be a similar sort of setup to Twitter in that case as well. Okay, so things like Kaiko, which will have digital slides, and I should also mention things like PathPresenter as well, which has got a lot of resources on it. That's also got, you know, question banks to test you as, you know, to which can help you with exams as well. So, you know, there's and previous conferences as well. So I should mention PathPresenter. I really like that site as well. So and awesome. Then yeah, and then obviously there's other things that you can, and then on top of that, for the last few things, I suppose, is just talking about digital pathology as well. Obviously getting digital slides up onto you know, sharing digital slides is something that is always going to be a bit of a difficulty, unlike radiology or Radiopedia, where, you know, there's the amount, the size is small. You know, our slides are very heavy. So, you know, having different sort of platforms as well. And PathPresenter is certainly, you know, it's a great one as well. We use, here for the university, we use things like, we use PathFormation as well. And a lot of, and that's works really well for what we need to do as well. And a lot of these digital platforms have, free limit, but obviously it's usually not a huge amount, because once again, we talked about the size of these slides. But in the future, as things right. become more miniaturized and space becomes better, that is going to be something to have a online library. And I certainly know with the RCP, sorry, I should mention this, the Royal College of Pathologists in the UK have their portal, which actually they've built, which has got a great, once again, you have to subscribe to it as well, but has huge amounts of digital pathology slides on it. And actually quite a, from my understanding, is some really good routine stuff there, which is something that is not necessarily as a resource and for learning as well, as not necessarily something that we all tend to focus on, because a lot of the stuff we tend to put on, you know, just Kaiko and Twitter and all that sort of stuff tends to be really interesting, rare stuff as well. But, you know, having sure. actually a resource of bank of actually normal-ish cases is actually something that's really, really useful as well. So that's the Royal College of Pathologists UK, their portal as well. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, hey, I know we're running up against time here. Dr. Rutland, it's been really, really awesome to have you go through all of this information. It's amazing to just listen and hear all the things that you have that you're ready to spit out and offer, you know, as places and resources to go. It's incredible. And it's a worldwide cool. list of things. So thank you for sharing that.
Sorry, I kept, thank you. I just keep on thinking of things as I keep on going along, and that's the whole thing. And I really hope I haven't missed out because I do apologize if I've missed out on anyone, because, like I said, there's a lot of really good stuff out there. And we're very lucky, actually, I think, in the world of pathology, because even though we're such a relatively small specialty, there's so much stuff that we can now access and development that's going into it. It's great as well. And plus, there seems to be a collegiality online that is brilliant. The fact that, hey, we're doing a podcast here from across the world is great. You know, it's yeah. it's brilliant. I'm really happy to be involved in these things. So I do really appreciate that as well. So thank you.
Yeah, yeah, no worries. In fact, I just had this thought that, you know, probably, I mean, we've had 30 minutes to discuss this today, which is not a lot of time, but you've done an incredible job. Hey, round two, if you find some stuff and we chat and you realize that after this, that there's more that you'd like to talk about, we'd love to have you on again. So let's keep that in mind. And we look forward to potentially hearing more from you on additional things. But loved all the things you covered today. The one that I put a star by is with what we do in my job. Oftentimes I've seen the most successful pathologists are the ones that are really tight knit with the clinicians and through the physician community for the patient care. So I love that you started with that. And I think that that's an awesome thing that I wouldn't have thought of. But when you said it, I was like, oh, wait, yeah, he's totally right on. The most successful and best patient care I've seen in healthcare comes from those that are willing to collaborate and work together. So
Absolutely.
Thank
and
you for
I
that.
think, no, like I said, I just have to admit, I almost did physicians training myself. And I chose pathology, but I love interacting with physicians and surgeons. And it's one of the reasons I really like my job. I love, because then you feel that you're part of that team, and it can only make, it only helps the patient, I think, and it only makes you better. So no, that's glad you agree with that. So yeah, no, it's, Yeah, and that's one of the great things about working where I work, I have to admit. Just throw that in for like all my colleague may or may not listen to this, but yeah, no, I'm lucky to work where I do.
Okay. Well, hey, thank you for your time again. And we look forward to maybe an additional conversation in the future. And appreciate your time. Thank you. We'll talk to you
thank
later.
Thank you, Jake. Thank you so much. Thank you. And thank you, Abby, for organizing it.
Tune in next month for our next podcast. Thank you to the sponsors of our program,
Lumea and the Digital Diagnostic Summit,
our listeners, and our guests for making this possible and for your support.